Communicating effectively is absolutely key to success. By means of face-to-face classes or video conference classes, Vaughn will make all the difference for your English. And you will make all the difference for your company.
Más información en Barcelona en el 933398687. En Madrid en el 911335831.
Nuestro curso de inglés por videoconferencia es la opción perfecta para perfeccionar tu inglés en poco tiempo y sin perder tiempo en incómodos desplazamientos. 100% online, por videoconferencia, desde cualquier lugar. Grupos de 6 personas como máximo. Horario de mañana o tarde. Prueba de nivel gratuita. ¿Qué más quieres? Nosotros no podemos darte más facilidades. Ahora te toca a ti. Entra en grupobaugan.com e infórmate sobre nuestro curso de inglés por videoconferencia.
Las mañanas son más productivas con Richard Vaughan.
You're listening to Richard Vaughan Live.
Hello and welcome to our third half hour of today's Friday edition of Richard Vaughan Live. Friday, yes, the 23rd of October. Next week, we move the clock back 1 hour at 3 o'clock in the morning on Sunday. From Saturday night to Sunday morning, we gain an hour. We don't lose an hour. Later in April, we lose an hour, but for the moment, this time is the good time. We have a 25-hour day. And I notice it, really. It's nice. Of course, the following April, we have a 22-hour day. But nevertheless, a 23-hour day. So I'm looking forward to next weekend when I'm going to have an extra hour, much like my extra hour in the evening for English, but this is simply an extra hour to take it easy, be lazy if I want. Lazy day, just right for lazing away. Yes, a lazy day, but today is Friday. It's a good day because the weekend is just around the corner, but it's a working day, which means we need to be productive. And I have a coffee with me right now. I made a coffee during the break. Not because I'm falling asleep, but simply because I felt like a coffee. I felt like a coffee. Me apetecía un café. I felt like a coffee. I felt like having, si usas verbo gerundio. I felt like having a coffee. I felt like making a coffee. So during the 4 minute break, I made a coffee. Yes, I've been talking about the parts of the body today and a little bit yesterday. I talked about fingernails, knuckles, the palm of your hand, the back of your hand, knowing New York City like the back of your hand. And I talked about wrists, wrist watches, forearms, elbows, joints, different las articulaciones del cuerpo. What's the most important joint in the human body? I don't know. Maybe the knees, maybe the hips. Hips son las caderas. Could be the most important joint. Maybe your ankle, maybe your elbow, maybe your shoulder, maybe your neck. I don't know. But we have, I don't know how many joints we have, you know. The knuckles, that's one. The wrist is two. Elbow three. Shoulder four. Neck five. Hips six. Knees seven. Ankles eight. And toes, bending your toes is nine. I guess we have nine joints. I'm sure I'm forgetting one along the way. But nevertheless, joints. J-O-I-N, joint. Escrito joints. So what's the most important joint? I don't know. You need your elbows to bend your arm. You can't bend your arm if your elbows don't work. You can't bend your legs if your knees don't work. Yes. Very important joints, especially the knees, because if you lose your ability to walk, that was my grandmother's problem. She died because she lost her ability to walk at the age of 93, and so she decided to die. She was the strongest woman I've ever met in my life. Yeah, strong in the sense of bullheaded. Hard-headed. Hard-headed is cabezota. Y lo era. She was hard-headed. Bullheaded is cabezota. I don't know how to say bullheaded, but maybe we can find a hard-headed, bullheaded, empty-headed. Let's see. Let's go into word reference and see if they give us a for bullheaded. It's not so common. Bullheaded. Let's see. Cabeza dura. Terco. Bueno. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Terco is stubborn. You have a lot of words in Spanish, too. Terco, testarudo, obstinado, tozudo. Yeah, you have cabezota. So you have at least five different words for stubborn, pig-headed, bullheaded, and things. But there are a lot of words with headed. There are a lot of adjectives with headed. It's quite interesting, but I can't find a list. Let me see if I can find a list of words with headed. Because this is what we call un sustantivo adjetivizado. Que bien suena. I don't know how to say that in English. A noun that is used as an adjective. Because cabeza's head. Words ending in headed. Let's find out. Hard-headed. Okay. Cabeza dura, o sea, cabezota. Let's see if we can find. Let's see. Egg-headed. Pin-headed. Cabeza de alfiler. Let's see. Hot-headed. Cabeza que se calienta los cascos. Hot-headed. Big-headed. Big-headed means es arrogante. Big-headed. Toe-headed. T-O-W. That means cabeza blanca. O sea, they're white hair for a little boy. I was toe-headed. My mother always said when I, in my first 2 or 3 years, I was toe-headed. Pig-headed. Red-headed. That means ginger. That's a red-headed person. That's pelirrojo. Pig-headed. Stupidly obstinate. Estúpidamente obstinado. All right, it's pig-headed. So we use that a lot. Well, a lot, no. Let's see. Egg-headed. Let's see what they say for egg-headed. Befitting or having the qualities of an intellectual. Don't say cabeza huevo. Egg-headed. Cool-headed. This is a good word. Cool-headed. He has a cool head. Calm. Self-control. Unemotional. You play it cool. You keep cool. You stay cool-headed in the crisis. The most nerveless winner in the history of the tournament. Cool-headed. Nerveless. No se le ve contento. No se pone nervioso. Serenely self-possessed. Let me finish my coffee. All right. So there are a lot of words with headed. Sore-headed. Bull-headed. Bare-headed. Bare-headed is calvo. It's another way. Cabeza desnuda, bareheaded. Boneheaded. De cabeza huevo. Digo, hueso. A stupid person, a dunce. Boneheaded. And so we have many more. Some spearheaded. To spearhead. Wow. Thickheaded. Cabeza espesa. Yes. A blockhead. Not very intelligent person. And then we have a lot of words with handed. And then a lot of words with minded. Words with handed. You know, left-handed, right-handed, open-handed, even-handed, backhanded, forehanded. Yes. Clean-handed, underhanded, etc. But in any case, let's go on with the parts of the body. We were talking about the parts of the body, and we were the in the last half hour, we were with the face, the mouth, you remember, the taste buds, las papilas gustativas, and your tongue and your cheek. Cheeks son las mejillas, cheeks. Rosy cheeks, girls who wear rouge. Rouge, means rojo in Francais, but rouge is also colorete. Some girls, or lower women, like to put a little bit of rouge on their cheeks to add a little bit of color when they put on makeup. And they put on their cheeks and their cheekbones, those pómulos. Interesting word, pómulo. We don't have a word for that. We don't have a word for pómulo. We just say cheekbone. El hueso de la mejilla. Cheekbone. I think we don't have a word for that. I'm going to look it up in any case. Pómulo. And see if I can find a different word for cheekbone. Nope, cheekbone. Pómulo. Interesting word in Spanish. I wonder what the origin is of the word pómulo. Cheekbone. But then we have our forehead. Forehead. Forehead is la frente. It's the area between your hairline and your eyebrows. Now, your eyebrows son las cejas. Eyebrows, eyelids, and eyelashes. Eyebrows, eyelids, and eyelashes. Yes, eyebrows, cejas. Eyelids, párpados. And eyelashes, pestañas. Lash is látigos, látigos de ojo. It's an interesting word, eyelashes. I like the word. I like the word látigo. Excuse me, I like the word pestaña, too. The word pestaña. But it's interesting. To blink is the word we use in English for parpadear. Of course, how many times a minute does a person blink? I really don't know. Maybe 10 times a minute? How many times a minute does a person blink? Let's see. 15 to 20 times. On average, a person blinks somewhere between 15 to 20 times a minute. That's between 14,000 and 19,000 times in a 24-hour cycle, assuming a person sleeps for 8 hours. So, we blink a lot. Yes, 15,000 times a day. That's a lot of time, so our eyelid muscles must be very, very strong. 15,000 movements a day. Wow. Interesting. The human body is interesting. To blink, you say parpadear. However, you have a second verb called pestañear. But you don't say, ¿cuántas veces pestañeas al día? No. I think the only time I really hear the word pestañear is when you say, sin pestañear. Me lo dijo sin pestañear. He said it to me without blinking an eye. Sin parpadear un ojo. Always in the singular. Without blinking an eye. Interesting expression in English and in Spanish. Sin pestañear. Pestañear. In English. Let me see if I can find it. A different equivalent. Let's see. Without blinking, dice aquí. Well, we say without blinking an eye. At least I do. In Texas, we say without blinking an eye. Yeah. Without batting an eyelid. Toma, también. Bat, como batear in baseball, batting. Without batting an eye, without batting an eyelid. I never say that. I say it without blinking an eye. Maybe the British say that, or maybe the people outside of Texas say that, without batting an eyelid. All right. But it's interesting about these things. All right. To blink. So we have our hairline. Hairline is donde empieza el cabello. We call it la línea del cabello. Hairline. And below your hairline is your forehead. Forehead. La frente. O sea, forearm is antebrazo, and forehead is antecabeza, literalmente, forehead. And there are two pronunciations, forehead, aspirando la H, o sin aspirar, forehead. You hear both, his forehead. I say forehead, I pronounce the H. There's a second word for frente, la frente, and it's brow, B-R-O-W, brow. Como marrón sin nene, brow. However, it's not used very often. Yes, we use it figuratively or in certain types of proverbs or, yes, I can't remember Offhand, a bote pronto. Offhand, I can't think of a sentence with brow. Now, las cejas are eyebrows. I don't know why we say that. Eyebrows, eyelids, a lid, L-I-D. Lid is la tapa de un cacharro de cocina, the lid. The lid, la tapa. Tapa de metal or tapa de cristal is a lid. Put the lid on it. The lid. If you make popcorn, make sure you have a lid. Otherwise, you'll have popcorn all over the kitchen. So, but eyelids, o sea, tapas de los ojos, literalmente, eyelids. Eyelids. Women put on eyeliner and eyeshadow. Eyeliner, I think you say rímel here. Eyeliner. Rímel, it must be a... That must be a brand name. That must be a brand name. Debe ser un nombre de marca. Rímel. Mascara. What's the difference between mascara and eyeliner? Mascara. O sea, máscara. In English, you say mascara. Yes. Eyeliner or mascara. Must be two different things. Yeah. Well, I don't know the difference. Difference between... Maybe I can find... I'm not a woman. I don't put on makeup. Well, except for... they put makeup on me for television. And mascara. I don't know the difference. Ver difference. Eyeliner and... What's the main difference between eyeliner and mascara is that eyeliner is a substance applied on the eyelids to create a variety of aesthetic illusions. And mascara is used on the eyelashes. Okay, gotcha. Okay. Mascara is what you put on the eyelashes to make them look fuller. Más llenos, más plenos. All right. That's mascara. And eyeliners, claro, la línea negra. All right, so yeah, they're definitely different. Now I know. Hey, I learned something new today. Yes, and so rímel, I think, is mascara. Because when a girl starts laughing so much that she starts crying, it begins to run. It's funny. Yeah, I remember in high school one girl. One of our classmates walked into... Well, it was interesting. In the last year of high school, when we were 17 and 18 years old, the school, our high school, began to soften, suavizar, some of the rules. And one of them is you could grow a beard or a mustache. And so one of the students in our school, in our class, in the chemistry class, which is the first class in the morning, David Atkins, I remember, he grew a beard and it looked... And he grew a beard. And he came one day dressed as Fidel Castro. And I swear he looked exactly like Fidel Castro walking into the class, David Atkins. And there was a girl who started laughing and laughing. And her mascara just fell down onto her cheeks and her cheekbones. And the chemistry teacher gave her permission to go to the bathroom to clean it up. All right. Mr. Bernard, I remember the name of the teacher. Yeah, the chemistry teacher. I got a good grade. I think I got a B in chemistry. A B means notable, normal, no notable alto, no notable medio. Which was because I was not crazy about mathematics or chemistry or physics or anything. But nevertheless, so we're talking about the human body and we're talking about our head, your scalp. Remember, your scalp is el cuero cabelludo. También to scalp is cortar la cabellera, like the Indians did to scalp the dead white man, the cowboy or the cavalry soldier. They scalped them. And scalpers are gente en la reventa de entradas, para un partido... Deportivo, usually they're called, in the U.S. they're called scalpers. In the U.K. there's a different word. I don't remember. But nevertheless, then you have your hair. Some people like long hair. Some people like short hair. Some women wear their hair. Fíjate, digo, llevan puesto el pelo. To wear. Some women wear their hair down to their waist. Young girls. The hair often hangs down to their waist. I like short hair, long hair, medium on girls. It doesn't matter. I don't really pay attention when I look at a woman. I don't pay attention to the hair. Unless the hair is very strange. If it's green or orange, yes. But or if it's just really, really attractive for some reason, then I will notice the hair. Otherwise, I don't. I don't even notice the color of the eyes on a woman. Unless the eyes are very strange, very, very light blue or something that, wow. Or if the light falls on their eyes and reflects in some special way. It doesn't matter. I just look at the face in general and at the lips. Yeah, and if I like it, then the rest usually doesn't matter. The rest doesn't matter. So, the hair. Men, more and more recently, in the past 20, 25 years, it's become popular for men to... men who have bald spots on their head or they're losing hair, they simply shave it all off. And so they become skinheads. Skinhead, skin, piel, cabeza, skinhead is the word we use for los raperos, cabeza rapada. We call them skinheads, okay. But a lot of men do that now. And so it's become mainstream. Mainstream means corriente principal, o sea, se ve mucho. It's become mainstream that men shave their head if they, instead of having just hair in the back or hair only around the sides or a big bald spot in the top or receding hairlines. Línea de cabello en receso. We say receding hairline. Entradas. But the thing is, when you say entradas in Spanish, you're referring to two areas on the left and on the right in which there's less hair. But a receding hairline is that, or just the entire line of your hair is further back than when you were younger. And then some people get gray hair. When you say pelo canoso, o tiene canas, in English we usually say that that person has gray hair. Gray hair. Or if the person is in the process of becoming a person with gray hair, you say they're graying. Están griseando, literalmente. They're graying. White hair, cabeza, cabello blanco, pelo blanco, we usually don't say white. Unless the person is, sometimes you can see a man who's 85 and his hair is completely white. In that case, perhaps. But otherwise, we say gray hair. Gray hair. I don't mind gray hair. I've never used, what do you call it? Color, how do you say? To color your hair. What's the word we use? I can't remember the word we use. To dye. Teñir el pelo. To dye. D-Y-E. Dye. Se pronuncia igual que morir. Pero con Y. Dye. To dye your hair. Los tintes son dyes. Different dyes para la ropa. Dar color. We use different dyes. To dye. I've never dyed my hair. Never. Yeah. Maybe I should. But nah. I don't like it because usually you can tell if a person has dyed his hair because really the facial features usually go with the hair color. And when you change your hair color, it doesn't really match your facial features. My facial features is of a person of a certain age. And so my hair color is also matches that age. If I dye my hair brown or black, something will look unnatural, perhaps. It doesn't matter. I'm not very narcissistic, thank God. A little bit, but not very much. Not very much. So, to dye your hair. Now, to shave your head, when they say afeitar la cabeza, we say to shave. Some people, it's popular now to have beards, light beards, maybe a 1 month beard, a 3 week beard. You see it everywhere. The other day, last night, I was watching the beginning of a football game between Atlético de Madrid and, well, no, the night before last, excuse me, between Atlético de Madrid and Bayern de Munich. And I noticed that on the Spanish team, the Atlético, every single player had a beard, except one, the Portuguese player. The young Portuguese player is a very good player, but I can't remember his name. And then on the German team, maybe half the players. Lewandowski, the Polish striker, didn't have a beard. Now, if you go back and watch, you know, a game from 1980 with Santillana and Juanito and Gallego and these people, none of them had beards. So you can see now all of them except on Atlético Madrid, all of them except the Portuguese guy, whose name, God, I can't remember his name. He's a very good player, by the way. Who's the best football player in the world now? Because this year, Leo Messi is not playing as well as usual. The best in the world, maybe Lewandowski. He's a natural striker. He's olfato de gol, as you say. Some players have that. Hugo Sanchez was fantastic. Leo Messi as well. Cristiano Ronaldo. They just make goals. They score. Yeah, that's their only obsession is in the goal. And then they're... But in any case, I have to take another break. I'm running out of time. I'll be right back.
En mi caso me lancé a hacer el máster porque en mi trabajo necesitaba hacer presentaciones en inglés, necesitaba hablar mucho en inglés, incluso por teléfono. Entonces fue la razón principal por la que me lancé a hacerlo, para tener una fluidez alta en el idioma y además hacerlo con seguridad.
Tengo grandes problemas a la hora de hablar. Me puedo comunicar perfectamente, pero no hablo de una manera correcta. Y también cosas muy importantes como el poder hablar en público sin tener que tener ese miedo o ese vacío a la hora de decir qué hago ahora o qué digo. Con el máster he solucionado ese tipo de problemas, la verdad.
Yo lo que más destacaría del máster serían los profesores. Ellos son unos grandes profesionales, te motivan muchísimo con el inglés. Por supuesto, los materiales exclusivos que tenemos en el programa.
No estás como en una clase típica cogiendo apuntes, escribiendo. Lo trabajas hablando, y eso es muy complicado, porque coger una frase y de repente tener que hacerla en interrogativa, en negativa, cuando no lo tienes delante, ayuda a que tu agilidad verbal y tu capacidad también con el idioma sea cada vez mayor, porque es un reto.
Una de las partes que más me gustó del programa fueron las presentaciones a las que me tenía que enfrentar prácticamente cada semana. Otra de las cosas que más me gustó del máster fueron los dos Found Town a los que asistí, porque esas experiencias eran siempre inolvidables y es una manera de darle un empujón importante al inglés.
Ya lo has oído, apúntate al máster de inglés profesional, ahora por videoconferencia. La misma calidad e intensidad, pero sin perder tiempo en desplazamientos. Entra en grupobaugan.com e infórmate. ¿Quieres apuntarte a un curso de inglés y no sabes cuál escoger? ¿Por qué no pruebas nuestro curso trimestral de Vaughan? Son solo 3 meses, no pierdes nada y te aseguramos que vas a ganar mucho. 3 meses en los que podrás ver cuál es tu nivel real de inglés. 3 meses en los que trabajarás tu listening and speaking en todo momento. 3 meses en los que subirás ese nivel tanto que... pues que querrás otros 3 meses y otros 3... Entra en grupobaughan.com e infórmate. Curso trimestral de Vaughan.
Sí, dígame.
Ahora tu profesor Vaughan desde tu casa, la oficina. Tu profesor Vaughan en clases telefónicas. Ahora más fácil y cómodo. Consigue uno de los 3 planes de formación en grupovaughan.com/clases telefónicas.
Okay, now tell me when to do 10 more push-ups.
I want to do 10 more push-ups.
Very good. Ask me if I'll tell you to do 10 more.
Will you tell me to do 10 more?
No, I'm going to tell you to do 20 more. Ask me if I care.
Did you care?
No, 20 more.
Come on.
Ahora, más oportunidades. Sigue entrenando tu inglés con tu mejor entrenador, un profesor Vaughan. ¿Por qué no aprovechas también ahora la hora de comer para poner en forma tu inglés? Apúntate a un curso de inglés trimestral por videoconferencia. Seguro que siempre has querido probar el famoso método Vaughan, pero no hay un centro Vaughan en tu ciudad. ¡Voilà! Aquí tenemos la solución ideal para ti. El método Vaughan en una clase por videoconferencia, con los profesores mejor formados para subir un peldaño tu nivel de inglés. Disfruta de todo el dinamismo e intensidad de una clase Vaughan ahora en videoconferencia y en una plataforma rápida y de fácil instalación. Nuestra avanzada tecnología permite que nuestras clases por videoconferencia tengan la misma velocidad e intensidad que una clase en el aula. En tan solo un par de clics podrás acceder a la plataforma y empezar tu clase. Y recuerda, prueba de nivel gratuita. ¿A qué esperas? Entra ahora en grupovaughan.com/clases videoconferencia. Fácil, cómodo y muy eficaz. Sigue poniendo en forma tu inglés.
You're listening to Richard Vaughan Live.
Welcome back. All right. Last half hour. Are you ready? Last half hour for Friday, the 23rd of October. So let's finish with the human body, but I never finish. About once a year, I talk about the human body, always starting with the fingernails. I move up the arm through the wrist, the forearm, the elbow, the upper arm, my shoulder, my neck, my face, my head. Everything, and then I start moving down, but I never finish. I never really get to the feet, ankles, and toes, and knees, and thighs, and pantorrilla. I'm trying to have calves. I'm losing my English, calves, and other things, but let's go. Let's start moving down. All right. So we move down to our shoulders. We already spoke about shoulders, and then our collarbone, el hueso del collar. Collar, collar. I spoke about this yesterday. Collarbone is la clavícula. We have two, las clavículas. We have two collarbones, one on one side and one on the other. They say it's very painful when you break your collarbone. I've never broken my collarbone or a collarbone, one of my two collarbones. But I know several people who, playing American football, broke their collarbones. And it was very, very painful for them. So I can thank God that I've never broken a bone in my body, including the collarbone. Now, as we move down, we have the bust or the torso. Torso. Your rib cage. Rib cage. Jaula de... jaula de costillas is what we say in English. Rib cage. I think it's one single word. I don't think it goes together. Rib, let's find out. Rib cage. You call it, I think you call it caja torácica. I think what that's what you say in Spanish. Rib cage. Mario says caja torácica. Costillar en un animal. En un animal. All right. So your rib cage. Now your rib, the ribs, I don't know how many ribs we have, but the ribs are designed to protect the most vital organs in the body. Because behind the rib cage, you have your heart, your lungs, your aorta, the most important artery in the body, and I think your liver is also protected a bit. But I don't think the stomach and pancreas are below the rib cage, I believe, and other organs, but like your kidneys, etc. But the rib cage. So you have the rib cage. Men and women have the same number of ribs. Some people think that men have one rib less than women. And from that is the myth or the legend that God took a rib from Adam to create Eve in the creation myth of the Judeo-Christian religion. It's an interesting myth, taking the rib. And so some people believe that men have one rib less than women, but it's not true. Both men and women, tanto los hombres como las mujeres, both men and women have the same number of ribs. I've never broken a rib. Never. My father broke a rib, but I've never broken a rib, so I don't know what it's like to break a rib. I don't know what it's like to break a bone. I don't know what it's like to break a leg. I don't know what it's like to break an arm. I don't know what it's like to break my back. I don't know what it's like to break my neck. I don't know what it's like to break any bone. I don't know what it's like. I don't know what it is like. Contracción. I don't know what it's like. No sé cómo es. Romper un brazo. I don't know what it's like. Do you know what it's like? Do you know what it feels like to break a bone? I've never broken a bone. So I don't know what it's like. But we have the rib cage. I've never broken a rib. Broken heart, yes, but that's not a bone. The heart is an organ in the body. Now, behind the rib cage, we have three. I believe the liver is protected, but I'm not sure. No, I have a feeling that behind the rib cage is only the heart and the lungs, those pulmones. L-U-N-G, lung. Aqualung. Lung is pulmon. Yes. Pulmonary diseases, pneumonia, etc., are lung diseases. The arteries pass through the lung to collect, I think. I'm not a doctor. To collect oxygen and carry it to the capillaries and carry it to aid in your muscles. Your muscles need, the cellular muscles need oxygen. And so it carries oxygen. So when you exert yourself running or jumping or playing playing tennis or playing football or whatever, the heart needs to pump faster, to pump, bombear. Your heart needs to pump faster to send more oxygen in more quickly to your muscles, to provide oxygen for the muscle cells. Although I'm sure a physiologist or a doctor can correct me on a few things. So, and also I think it cleans the blood. I have a feeling there's a cleansing. When the veins return, when the blood returns to the heart, there's a cleansing element. Something about the lungs. I'm not sure about every function that the lungs perform for the human body. The heart beats. Your heartbeat is around 70 or 80 beats per minute. And when you're exerting yourself, 130, 140, up to me, personally, I have reached 200. I don't think that's recommendable, especially now at my age. But if the equipment you have in a gym, you know, the equipment like ellipticals and stationary bicycles in which you grasp and you can, and they measure your heartbeat, I've reached 200. But that was maybe 10 years ago. The highest I've reached this year probably is 170. And I don't usually go that high. It's just by accident. I said, my God, it's 170. It's a little bit too much. They say if you want to measure or do you want to calculate the maximum exertion. Exertion means esfuerzo. Esfuerzo de este tipo. Effort is esfuerzo de cualquier tipo. But exertion is esfuerzo físico. Exert. How do you say exertion? Lo que dicen aquí. Esfuerzo. Dice esfuerzo excesivo. No. no tiene que ver con excesivo. Puede ser, it could be excessive exertion, but exertion doesn't imply excessive effort. It doesn't imply that. Sustained activity, exertion. Now, the rule of thumb, regla de pulgar, rule of thumb means regla general, is that you start with your age. You subtract your age from 220. And that's the maximum recommendable. For example, if you're 60 years old, well, you subtract 60 from 220, that's 160. And that's the maximum you should force your heart. If you're 70, well, 150 should be the maximum. Although I think I remember that it's 80% of that, which means if you're 60 years old, then the maximum heart rate would be 80% of 160. Subtracting your 60 years from 220, that gives you 160. Now, 80% of that, you need to subtract 32 from 160, and that gives you 128? That's too low, in my opinion. I'm going to look it up. Let's look it up. We have time, right? Yeah, we have a lot of time left. Yes, we have plenty of time left. Maximum heart rate calculation in exercise. Let's see if we can find it. You can calculate your maximum heart rate by subtracting your age from 220. For example, if you're 45 years old, subtract 45 from 220 to get a maximum heart rate of 175. This is the average maximum number of times your heart should beat per minute during exercise. Okay. So if you're 60, it doesn't talk about 80% of that. But I have seen, I think there's maybe some different opinions on this. As usual, experts never agree, which means they're not really experts. If they don't agree, if experts disagree, then one of them is wrong, or both of them are wrong. So there's probably a 33% chance that that they're right on this, because 33% of the chance, both are wrong. 33% is one is wrong, and 33% the other is wrong. So there's a 67% chance that both are wrong, so it's probably better to follow your own common sense, your own intuition, your own hunch, corazonada, hablando de corazón, or your own feeling about this. So, the heart rate calculator. All right. Calculate your heart rate. Your age, for example, if you're 60, level of exercise, if you're 60, let's put 60 here. All right. Level of exercise, calculate. Level of exercise at 100%. Full exercise. Wow. Calculate. So, 160 beats per minute. That's exercising at 100% effort, 100% exertion, hitting it hard. So if you're 60 years old and you go to the gym, then if you're on the elliptical or the stationary bicycle or on the machine whose name I never remember in English or in Spanish, la cinta. How do you say that in English? Walker, stroller. Oh, I don't know how to say that in English. I know, but I can't. I never remember because I never use it. I never use that because I prefer to walk in the streets outside. Let's see. Walking machine. Let me see. Walking machine. If I can find it. Let's see. Stroller. Silla de bebé, no. Cochecito de niño, no. All right. What do we call that? We call it a... What do you call it in Spanish? You know, I had this problem about 6 months ago as well. All right. Let's see. Let's go into gym machines. All right. Let's see. Different gym machines. Weight machines? No, I want gym machines. Total Gym Fitness, the best gym machines. Let's find them. Accept and continue. Horizontal seat leg press, lat pull down, cable biceps. This is for muscle work, chest press, cardio, rowing machine, crunch machine. That's for your, come on, leg extension, hamstring curl, chest fly machine. Come on, just give me the... Será posible they don't put the one that everybody uses for walking or running? Let's see. If we actually, I still can't find it. The best at-home gym equipment. I'm going to find this word. If I die in the effort. Massage, es que no me da, no me lo da. They give me everything except the most common machine in the gym. When you go to a gym, of course, you have free weights, what we call pesas libres, free weights. Then you have weight machines. And then you have cardiovascular machines. Well, you have the elliptical trainer. But there has to be others as well. Here, there's the elliptical. Fine. The elliptical trainer. Now, what's the one in which you're running? I can't find it. I can't find it. Oh, maybe if I put cardio machines at the gym. In the gimnasio, at the gym. Here we are. Exercise bike. All right. Home gym exercise. Rowing machine. Come on, give me the one that everybody uses. Here we are. Here. Let me find the pictures. I have to go into Google Images now. Otherwise, I'm not going to find it. I still can't believe this. And they're giving me everything except what is the most common. Here we are. How to choose the best equipment for your gym. Now, I can see 6 people on the machine whose name I can't remember. Now let me go in to the visitar sitio. And maybe they'll give me the name of this piece of equipment. All right. The piece of equipment. Choose your equipment mix. All right. Here we are. Once you know how much room your gym has for fitness equipment, you need to consider what kinds of equipment you are looking to provide in your gym. All right. It depends on the total space, etc., etc. Cardio machines, group exercises, strength equipment. All right. Visualize your gym space. It does not give me anywhere the name of that machine. And I know you know it. You're shouting into the radio, but I can't find it. Oh, what a, this is the most, as you get older, you forget things. You don't remember certain words. They just don't come to you. New cardio equipment. Here's another one. Now, this man is on the machine. Life Fitness, etc. That's the brand name. But yeah, but tell me the name of the machine. I'm not interested in the brand name. I'm interested in the name of the machine. And I keep thinking of stroller, but of course stroller is not the word. It's a running machine. It's a running machine. Y no me lo dan en ningún sitio. I've gone into about 5 websites in which I have the picture, but it doesn't say the name of the machine. Let me go into another picture. Let me try. Visitar sitio. All right. I can't find it to save my life. I'm at the point of giving up. I know you know, but I don't. I can't remember. So, maybe if I just put names of machines instead of, I have the pictures in front of me. And then when I click on the pictures to go to, it doesn't say the name of the machines. A guide to the best cardio machines for a workout. All right. That has to be here. Treadmill. Oh, treadmill. I never remember that word, treadmill. Treadmill. And in Spanish, a treadmill is called la cinta. La cinta. I didn't remember it in Spanish or in English. Tread. Tread. Tread is transitar. To tread. Wise men. Fools rush in where wise men fear to tread, I think. To tread is a pisar. Bueno, dice aquí pisotear. No. No. Word reference is not very good. It's simplemente caminar. Andar. To tread. Banda de rodadura. That's another one. Treadmill. Treadmill. Mill is molino. De andar. So, caminadora is another word. La cinta. The treadmill. You know, I need to write that down on a piece of paper and look at it every day. I need to keep it on my bedside table. A little piece of paper with the word treadmill. Because every time I need to refer to that machine on the radio or outside, I don't know what to call it. I forget the word treadmill. And I've known the word treadmill for 40 years. But I just never remember it when I need to say it. And there's an actress, a Hollywood actress, whose name I never remember. Never. Every time I need to say her name. And I can't remember her name right now. Lady Halcón. Do you remember Lady Halcón? That actress. And I never remember her name. What's her name? And I can't find it. Here she is. There's a picture. Now let's look and find the name. Michelle Pfeiffer. There we go. So there's certain names that just escape me. There must be a psychological block. Because it happened to me a long time ago, and so my brain automatically shuts down or puts a tupido velo, just a thick curtain in front of my memory. Because I know I'm not going to remember it, and so my brain decides it's not going to remember. Treadmill. Una vez vi a Michelle Pfeiffer en una cinta de caminar. All right. I need to put that on a piece of paper. I saw Michelle Pfeiffer on a treadmill, which is not true. I think I've never seen Michelle Pfeiffer on a treadmill. But in any case, treadmill. I don't use treadmills because I do a lot of walking outdoors. And so I prefer to use the elliptical or to use a bicycle, a training bike, a stationary bicycle. All right, I've lost about 10 minutes chasing the word treadmill. Chasing that word. Now, I guarantee you I'm going to forget it again the next time I need to talk about it. But we're talking about the human body. So as we move down behind the rib cage, we have the lungs, we have the heart, and the main artery, the aorta, that is basically protected by the rib cage. Now, below the rib cage, we come to the stomach, the liver, el hígado, liver, the pancreas, and the diaphragm, and the duodenum, which passes into the large intestine and the small intestine. We say large. We don't say the big intestine. We say the large. Large. We use the word large intestine. And then you have your kidneys. Some people suffer kidney failure. If you lose the function of one kidney, you can still live with another. With very few problems, I think. Santillana, the famous Spanish football player in the 70s and 80s. Santillana tenía un solo, I think, riñón. I think that was true. Yeah, Santillán descubre que solo tiene un riñón. All right. Yeah. Es el 21 de abril, on the 21st of April, 1973, el Madrid visitó el Español con Sarriá a reventar. All right, and they discovered that Santillana had only one kidney. All right. And it was strange. But in any case, apparently you can live okay with only one kidney. I really don't know if it affects your longevity. I really don't know. So, but it's interesting. Kidneys, riñones, kidney stones. There are two types of stones, as far as I know. Kidney stones, que son piedras de riñón. I've never suffered that, thank God. And gallstones, gallbladder stones, I think de vesícula. Gallbladder, and then your kidneys. Then we come down to your hips, las caderas, hips, which is another joint, a very important joint to coordinate your body movement. So, I mean, if you want to use a treadmill, I remember the word, then even if your name is Michelle Pfeiffer, if you want to use a treadmill, you have to have good usage of your hips. And hips, it's a question. Some people dislocate their hips, but the most common problem with a person's hips is usually for women beyond a certain age. Their hips often break, just give way. A lot of times they say, una caída, y rompió la cadera, she fell, but usually it's the opposite. The hip broke and they fell. The cause and effect are inverse. But I have to go, eh? See you this evening, eh? On the Extra Hour, Friday evening. Take care. Bye-bye.
Aprende. Diviértete. Esto, lo que escuchas, es Vaughan Radio.